Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio in Austin, joined by my co-host Les Kaiser via Zoom. And we just watched the Formula One Portuguese Grand Prix, and it was actually a pretty darn exciting race. Started off really good and ended up, with lots of actually good racing in between. What'd you think, Les?
Oh, I loved it. It was exactly what I was hoping for as far as, it's a shorter course. It's got lots of overtaking possibilities for such a short course, to be honest. We saw several takes there. Love the curves, love the elevation and the blind views into the next curve. Great run, though. Lots of great driving. The tire compounds, I'll say traction, really. I can't blame the tire compounds, but the traction combination of that new surface and the tires created a lot of excitement there.
Well, we got a little rain to start the race to give us a little excitement, a little tease there, shook everything up. Carlos Sainz was leading the race, for three or four or five laps? And Kimi Raikkonen made it up to, sixth place and almost finished in the points. That would have been awesome.
Absolutely. Loved just the combination of everything that was going along there. Just kind of looking back through the field, loved the way it wound up with so many folks. Valtteri still up front. Charles Leclerc at fourth, comparison to Vettel back at 10th. So watching that gap between those two drivers, knowing there's a lot of focus around that as well. Alexander Albon, we've been watching, wondering if he's going to get a invitation back into that seat or not back at 12th. There's a lot of news around those guys, as well as Antonio Giovinazzi hanging out back in the backfield, 15th for him. So we'll see. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are about to be joined by a special guest here in just a couple of minutes. Bob Varsha is going to join us. So we'll get him connected up here in just a minute. But yeah, the most exciting part of this, it was fun watching Carlos Sainz lead the race and the shakeup at the beginning and all those, the tire issues they were having. But really, there was a lot of great racing throughout the middle of the field, and Gasly looking good and Checo Perez with that collision with Max at the start and then coming all the way back after pitting. There was a lot of good racing in between.
Absolutely. I think a lot of things play into it. There were some dodgy moves. I think that comes from the drivers not being all that familiar with this course. It was interesting to see some of that. Stroll definitely had some learning, needed some experience on that track, was my take on his moves.
Yeah. And, Les, what did you think about, Albon and Gasly? What about that situation?
Oh, man, Albon and Gasly, that's one that's going to Pierre wrapping up in fifth and Albon back in 12th. Albon, I think your days are numbered. I think it's going to be one of those things. He just hasn't delivered consistently. Gasly, for whatever reason, has really been showing well. It might, you know, you got to realize that it may even be a combination of Gasly with his crew members and his team is working out better where he is than when he was with Red Bull. So it's not only the driver that plays into the success.
Yeah, no doubt. And it was a really there was good racing too, up and down. And you know what? Kimi finished 11th, right? Well, all around him, we had Daniel Ricciardo racing, and also we had Max lapping Albon. That was also ugly. But there was lots of good racing.
There was. Max was on his game. He was doing really well. The tire combinations didn't work out for him. He did make that strong charge right up at the beginning. A lot of diciness in that first lap, as we were expecting. That was that really set up. I thought it was going to play more into Max's hands than it did. But, you know, still delivered. What a great first few laps there.
Yeah, and lots of good racing in between. We kept thinking we were going to get rain. I intentionally hardly mentioned the rain in the pre-show. I swear I'm getting superstitious about it. Every time we talk about it, it doesn't happen. And you know, it was actually kind of a surprise at the beginning because no one had talked about rain. There were some, you know, ominous-looking clouds right before the start of the race. Still are ominous clouds out there, but and I didn't expect it. And in fact, I didn't even realize there was rain until they had already started the race. And you could see everybody on hard tires was struggling big time and everybody on soft tires. And I loved that they showed it later in the race, Kimi Raikkonen weaving through the crowd on his soft tires, looking like the Kimi of old. That was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Kimi was doing awesome today. I really like it when he feels good and he's got a lot of confidence in his car because it shows and he starts delivering it. You know, I don't know if it's the way the team sets it up or not, but I don't feel like he's had great confidence in his own car. And so it certainly plays out that if he can't trust his car, if he can't trust what it's going to do in these competitive situations, he's not going to deliver. He's not going to push that edge that we know he's confident in and that we know he's absolutely capable of. He's delivered a lot of great things in the past. Alfa Romeo, I'm just curious if he's going to get called back. I'd hate to see him not around. I want to see Alfa Romeo call their seats this week. We'll see.
And Charles Leclerc finishing fourth. In fact, let me just run down the grid in case you didn't get to catch it all. It was Lewis Hamilton with a win, of course, setting the all-time record, 92 wins, passing Michael Schumacher, just amazing accomplishments. So 92 wins for Lewis Hamilton. Then Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Pierre Gasly, Carlos Sainz, Sergio Perez in seventh, Ocon, Ricciardo, and Vettel wrap out the points. And then Raikkonen just outside the points in 11th, Albon, Norris, Russell, Giovinazzi, Kevin Magnussen, Grosjean, 16 and 17 for the Haas team, Nicholas Latifi in 18, Daniel Kvyat in 19, and the only DNF for the day, Lance Stroll, who had a pretty rough afternoon. Les, do you think he's in jeopardy of losing his job?
I really kind of question. I mean, you know, it's daddy's money. Is still a strong player in that area. I could see it happening. He's got a lot to show on. He hasn't been real consistent. So I'm going to say you better step it up, son.
Yeah, dad or no dad. But by the way, I think we have our guest ready to come on. I think we have Bob Varsha. I'm looking at the producer, and it looks like he's got him all connected. Mr. Varsha, do we have you on the line? He said, hold 1 second. Producer's connecting up. Lots of switches and buttons and levers being pulled back there. I think he's going to join us via Skype.
Oh, come on. I see 42 buttons on the steering wheel.
Well, I tell you what, our producer's got 10 times that many buttons that he's working with. So, yeah, but I'm excited to talk to Bob about it.
We have one of the best in the business. I'm confident we'll get him in there.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm excited because I want to get his take on this race today, the season, this crazy season, and of course, the Haas F1 driver situation. So we're going to talk to Bob about all of that. But Les, you know, we talked about the guys at the front, everybody having a shakeup at the beginning, but it kind of ended up where we expected. But some of the surprises, obviously Gasly.
I'm going to counter you on that.
What's that?
I'm going to counter you on one driver.
Okay.
Russell up in 14.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love seeing George up there.
I do, but you know what? He's shown all year long that he's good, and this is really not surprising. We didn't see Kevin Magnussen do his normal come out of the blocks and gain 5 to 10 grid positions. He was on the hard tires, so I didn't really expect it. I think they're just throwing the kitchen sink right at strategy, thinking, let's try whatever we can and see if we can, and you know, hoping for either some more rain and a tire switch. But anyway, it didn't turn out to be one of those days for Kevin Magnussen. But Sergio Perez, like I mentioned, had a fantastic race after coming back. Ocon finishing ahead of Ricciardo today, 8 and 9 for the Renault cars. And of course, Vettel in 10th, double points for Ferrari, which Vettel has not been able to do all year long. But once again, a massive gap between he and Leclerc. And oh boy, every time I see Albon's name after today, I keep thinking, you know, the writing could be on the wall. Lando Norris had a rough day, though. He had a puncture and ended up getting back to 13th. He had a puncture. In fact, it wasn't, I think he was down in like 17th or 18th with only a handful of laps to go. So he used that the speed of that McLaren to get back up to 13th. But not an exciting day for Lando Norris. And, you know, after Norris, like you said, we had Russell, but back of the pack there looking the normal. But now I want to welcome to the show our special guest, legendary American broadcaster Bob Varsha. Bob, welcome back to Speed City.
Thanks a lot, John. Glad to be back with you guys. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a while. Thank you. And I am excited to have you, and I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you. Beautiful Sunday morning here in Atlanta. Drinking coffee, watching Formula One. What could be better than that?
Ah, looky there. Man, you're looking great, Bob. Absolutely. Welcome back. We're so happy you're joining us. There's been a lot of talk about you lately.
Well, thanks very much. Things are looking good. Of course, let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. I'm being treated for prostate cancer. I've got a scan coming up this weekend that should tell us what kind of progress we hopefully have made since my most recent treatment protocol. And I feel great and just glad to see each new day and enjoy the world.
Well, thanks for the update, Bob, because I know everybody wants to know that. And I'm glad you're feeling great. But we're excited to have you because we want to talk some Formula One with you. We want to talk about today's race, Lewis Hamilton's amazing new record. And then we want to get into the discussion about the Haas F1 team with their drivers. But let's start with today's race. What did you think overall from a racing standpoint?
Well, I thought it was terrific. I mean, it had just about everything you could ask for from a race. Unpredictable new racetrack. That was reflected in the start. A lot of teams made, you know, educated guesses, I guess we'd call them, on things like tires. The grip wasn't there. Guys like Verstappen and Lewis himself got caught out. Wild scrambles, some contact. I thought the stewards were conservative in their calls, which was good. Good days, bad days for one team or another. On the whole, I thought it was a lot of fun. And I happen to like Portugal a lot. So I was anxious to see what that track looked like. I'd never been to Portimão, but it's obviously a spectacular racetrack. And I think the drivers probably enjoyed it too, unless your name is Sergio Perez. Or Lance Stroll.
Or Lance Stroll. I was about to say, yeah. Well, Bob, let's talk about Lewis Hamilton. This amazing record of 92 wins, passing Michael Schumacher. You've seen a lot of Formula One drivers in your history, and I want to get your opinion of Lewis Hamilton and how he does stack up in all the drivers in history.
Well, you know, that's always the spark for a great conflagration of an argument. But obviously, Lewis's numbers speak for themselves. He is the most successful Formula One driver of all time. You can't deny it. You know, whether he's the best as opposed to a Fangio on skinny tires and what have you, I won't go there. But obviously, Lewis is a superb talent. I think he is great for the sport. He's obviously much more than just a racing driver who wins races. He's a cultural figure in many ways around the world. And I think he's handled it all with dignity. And he was obviously rendered speechless by the fact that he had eclipsed Michael Schumacher's record, as Michael was back when he eclipsed Alain Prost's previous record for all-time wins. Thought it was a beautifully judged race by Lewis. I mean, he said afterward that he just didn't have the grip early on, so he just calmed himself down and said, okay, I'll be back. This is our strategy. And after what Mercedes and Hamilton were able to do in qualifying, going for two runs instead of the one that Bottas did, made for a really exciting qualifying session, 97th pole for Hamilton in another category that he leads. And I thought it was a terrific race in very, very confusing conditions. I think every driver would say that today was something other than what they expected in terms of grip and tire life and weather conditions. It was a lot colder than they'd seen all week long. So I think it was just really fascinating, in the same way that the races turn entertaining when it rains. You know, suddenly everybody is on an island unto himself and they have to figure it out. And that, to me, is fun to watch.
Yeah, and I want to go back to what you said about Lewis Hamilton. I love the way you put that, because it is so hard to compare. You know, it happens in every sport. You compare, you know, Tom Brady to Bart Starr, you know, different generations and all this. It's just too hard to compare. But exactly. I do love what you said about Hamilton, that being more than just a race driver, because he, you know, it's funny. I see him get some grief on social media, but he's always... he never, ever forgets to thank the fans and to thank mm-hmm. his team. And it doesn't, his humbleness doesn't come off as contrived or anything. He just seems to genuinely appreciate where this has put him in history, and never says anything like, you know, compares himself to the greatest. He just thanks his team, thanks his fans. And I'm really glad you brought it up that way, because I think that he is unique in that way. And I think he is a great ambassador to the sport. And it is fun to watch these records fall. Of course, we all want to see some competitive racing, but I think Lewis Hamilton is a great ambassador for our sport. But well, Bob, let me get your opinion on Valtteri Bottas. You know, it's hard living in the shadow of someone doing what Lewis Hamilton's doing, but he obviously proves how fast he can be in qualifying. Mm-hmm. But boy, today when Lewis Hamilton went past him, he certainly took that advantage. But what do you think about Valtteri Bottas?
Well, you know, I don't know if Bottas gets enough credit. It's kind of a backhanded compliment to say that he's almost the quickest driver in that team. And you're right. He lives in Lewis's shadow. I remember many years ago when Eddie Irvine, probably the biggest wise ass in Formula One history, was announced at the Nürburgring, and I was there to hear the announcement where he was going to be a Ferrari teammate to Michael Schumacher. I guess that it would have been 1998 or so, maybe 97. And Eddie was asked about about his new role as the obvious number two to Michael. And he said, well, if Michael's the greatest driver in the world, then I must be the second greatest Formula One driver in the world. So he enjoyed being, you know, the solid number two that honestly every team needs, you know, and it takes a special kind of driver, I would argue, to accept that role. You know, it's the other guy who's going to get the advantage, because that's just what the team as a group have collectively decided. And it's my job to support him, to grab points where I can, grab a win where I can, contribute to the development of the car. And it's just what you've got to have in Formula One these days. I mean, look over at Red Bull and what they're going through with Alex Albon. He's obviously not giving the team what they want. So, you know, what do? Where do you find that guy who's willing to be right up there with Max Verstappen, but he's not going to get the wins because Max is going to get him, you know, and he'll pick up the scraps. He'll be very well paid to do it. But that's just the way it has to be in Formula One these days. You need a solid team and a solid 1-2 combination in the race cars.
Ah, I love that. I love your take on that, Bob.
Yeah, you know, I think we've seen a lot of that in the NASCAR world where, you know, we had a driver that was a second fiddle and they kind of owned that in a lot of places. Some of the folks, as you mentioned, you know, do not own that well. But I also think mm-hmm. that I feel like in recent years, we've really seen more of the team mentality of winning for the team than the driver. I feel like we're seeing more and more of that come into play in Formula One than, quite honestly, than I recall in many generations. What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, first of all, I was interested that you brought up NASCAR because I always flinch a little bit when I hear fans, you know, see two guys who raced for the same car owner getting in each other's way. And the cry goes up, you know, you don't race your teammate that way. Well, in NASCAR, your teammate's only in the sense that your check comes from the same place. The sponsors are different on your car. Those sponsors are paying a lot of money. They don't want to hear about how you had to let your teammate through because he's better positioned in the championship, blah, blah, blah. In Formula One, you're in identical cars and you are a homogenous team. In NASCAR, it's different because the driver really has to make a decision to get his sponsors, his crew, his team to the front so that, you know, the teammate rules are a little bit different in that way. And having said that, I've forgotten what the second part of your question was.
Well, you know what? Let's hold that.
We'll come up with another later.
We gotta come up with, okay. Go to a break real quick, guys. So let's go ahead and do that. And we'll be back after this break with more from Bob Varsha.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We just got through watching the Formula One Portuguese Grand Prix, and we are breaking it down, and we're doing that with the help of our special guest, Bob Varsha. And Bob, I want to read you a tweet that someone just tweeted at us. They said, great to hear Bob Varsha, and he sounds great, exclamation point. Would not be an F1 fan I am today if not for Sunday mornings with his efforts. I learned so much from that team. That's got to make you feel good, Bob.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you hate to be thought of in the past tense that way, but I hear from so many people who have said similar things about how they've been listening for so long. They remember the great F1 days on ESPN and Speed Vision and Speed and Fox Sports and all that kind of thing. And it really, it does warm the heart, and I really appreciate every one of them.
Well, we also have someone who just called in. We got a caller who wants to join us and probably wants to talk to you as well. Bob, we have George in Virginia. Hey, George, how are you?
Hello. Thank you. And this is an honor to speak to a legend in a sport that really opened a lot of people's eyes. I mean, I started watching Formula One in the 70s when they had it on Wild World of Sports. But Bob and the various teams really opened the sport in America, kind of use a phrase, you know, describe the sport, put it where the cows can get it. So it's an honor to speak with you. Thank you for what you've done, and thank you what you will be doing. And it was great. I would like to just ask you a question about Lewis Hamilton in Formula One, if you have time.
Absolutely, George. Go for it.
As someone who's seen Schumacher, I saw him in 02 with the Barrichello debacle, but we won't go there. It seemed like Lewis is probably the new, not only you have to be a driver, you have to be a representative, but you also have to sort of create a persona on social media. And do you see going forward, do you see drivers being drivers first and personality second, or do you see sort of a hybrid of the two? Moving forward, you just can't be a superior driver. You have to be sort of you have to kind of create a corporate identity to sort of sell. Do you think Lewis was sort of the harbinger of that? Do you see drivers coming behind him in that same mold?
That's a great question. And I think the answer is, Lewis is one of a kind. He's certainly not the first driver to have a big off-track persona. You know, you can have an off-track persona in this social media age if you were a James Hunt or someone who lived life to the fullest in a way that not a lot of people might necessarily agree with all the drinking and smoking and womanizing and all that kind of thing. Would that be homogenized out by sponsors who want an image of moral rectitude and nice guy and all that kind of thing? I don't know. It's a double-edged sword in that way that I think you need to have an off-track persona. I think modern sports at the professional level requires it. I don't know that it would be a formal team requirement that you do it. Obviously, the younger generation is very socially media conscious. They know how to use Instagram and tweet and Twitter and everything else out there. So it's just going to come naturally. And I think the bigger problem for drivers is going to be how you handle that off-track persona. Obviously, Lewis Hamilton has had some hurdles to cross. There are people who don't necessarily agree with the positions he takes and that sort of thing. And that's something sponsors and professional organizations are rightfully concerned about. You know, when I was calling the races on an active basis with David and Steve, Lewis, when he came on the scene at first with McLaren, raised an interesting problem for us. I mean, half of the comments we got were, why do we mention that Lewis Hamilton is black? Haven't we progressed past that as a society? And there's some truth to that. The other half of the comments we would get were, why don't you mention more often that Lewis is black? He's a groundbreaker, a pioneer. We need, you know, more of that kind of diversity in sports. So, you know, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's the situation in a larger sense, I think, that teams and drivers face with dealing with social media, being present off track, in a large way, going to cultural events, wearing wild and crazy fashions like Lewis likes to do, the people you hang out with, you know, heroes and villains, you know, all that's a part of the package. I don't think teams are going to demand that sort of thing from drivers anytime soon, but I think we all have to get used to the fact that drivers do have personalities and lives away from the racetrack, and they have every right to live their lives as openly as they feel like.
Well, George, thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate you listening, and that's a great question. And Bob, yeah, it is, you know, today with their instant platform that they have in their pocket of Twitter and Instagram and whatever else, it you know, these drivers, I can imagine being a sponsor, being nervous about their spokesperson, as it may be, because they have such access. But I think this Black Lives Matter and what's gone on with George Floyd and everything has given Lewis Hamilton a focus, you know, because he did used to have, I don't notice his fashion as much anymore, and I don't notice him going places and things like that. This has given him this focus and let him run with that platform. And I think he's done a great job with that. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, do I want to have my sport separate from everything else? But I think the way things have played out this year, it's such a crazy year, and I think it's worked out. I don't really mind it, and I think that Hamilton's done a great job of it. So, and I love your take on the way he has done it as well. But, well, I want to go back to today's race because we talked about Hamilton and Bottas. But what about Bob? What do you think about this year and Max Verstappen's? You know, I wonder is Max Verstappen, you know, we'll never know because you can't put him in the same car, but is he as good or is he better than Lewis Hamilton? What do you think about Max Verstappen?
Well, I think Max is a you know, a wonderful talent in the same way Lewis is, maybe a bit differently. It struck me during the race when the rain was misting down and some of the drivers were talking about it on the radio. Max, to my mind, is one of the great rain racers in Formula One. So I was a bit surprised to see him struggling in very low grip conditions, whether it was because the, you know, the moisture on the track or the slick nature of this asphalt. I don't know where the Portuguese guys got the asphalt they repaved with, but everybody said it was like ice. So that surprised me a little bit, but that could also be the car. You know, we know that Red Bull has gone to great lengths to try to get on par with Mercedes. They get closer and closer. They're not there yet. But I think Max is a fabulous talent. I think just about every team would love to have him. But I don't think he's going to leave Red Bull, where he has a beautiful situation, in the same way that Sebastian Vettel did at Red Bull when he went through that run of four straight world championships. He's the team leader. He gets the latest and greatest in parts and everything else. And he seems to have a pretty bulletproof personality, sometimes to the point of being a little bit too blunt for other people's taste. But, you know, that's Max. That's part of his personality, like we were talking about, like Lewis and all of his off-track activities. So,
and he's still a kid, you know, really. He's so young.
Well, he is. He's very young. He's got Adrian Newey back there. They kind of went down the wrong direction with the high rake rear car and a shorter wheelbase and all that kind of stuff that goes into a successful effort in Formula One. But I love Max, and I'm only sorry that we didn't get to see the Dutch Grand Prix at the reconfigured Zandvoort course. I can only imagine what the Orange Army would have been like out there, and Max trying to do everything in his power to please him. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, Les got to go to Zandvoort last year. Les, that was they were primed and ready, weren't they?
They were. I was there. In fact, it was Red Bull with Max there, and he took a few laps on it. Now, it's before the reconfigured to the big banked curb, but absolutely, the place was packed, and it was Max's town that day. Yeah, would love to see that. By all means, he's got a big following. I'm with you. I like his personality. It's edgy enough. Occasionally, he goes a little over the top, shoving one of the drivers. I think it was 2 years ago. He shoved another driver physically, not cool in that. But I want somebody that is that committed into their performance that, you know, we talk about sticking your nose in a gap and taking it. He's one that never seems to fail at staying engaged in the race and going after it. Even when he's under the underdog, he didn't have the confidence and traction today, but he still stuck with it. And that's one of the things I like about Max, is the no give up attitude.
All right, guys. Hey, we need to get back on track with the breaks. Let's go ahead and take another break now. Just a quick one, and we'll be back to talk about the Portuguese Grand Prix with Bob Barcia. Listen to Speed City Live from Austin back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We've been talking about the Portuguese Grand Prix, one of the new races this year for this pandemic shortened and a modified season. And our guest for the show today is Bob Barcia. And Bob, I wanted to ask you, you got back in the booth and got behind the microphone, and I saw where you're looking to do that even more. So tell us what's going on in your world from a work standpoint.
Well, opportunities are kind of thin on the ground right now, but I feel great. As you mentioned, I have done a couple of things this year. I did the Ferrari Challenge back in late August, right there in your hometown, that Circuit of the Americas. And then just a few weeks ago, I was a part of the broadcast team for the SCCA National Runoffs up at Road America, which was great fun. I won't lie, I had some rust to knock off, which I'm working on doing right now. But there's nothing keeping me from working due to my treatments, and hopefully they'll be behind me in the not-too-distant future. And, you know, work is what I like to do. I don't play golf. I don't have a boat. I don't do any of that stuff. I like to travel and call races and be a part of the racing community. You know, that's just a tremendous tonic for me, as I described it. It's just I feel so much better when I'm working. I have no intention to retire, so hopefully I can keep doing this for a while. But right now, there's nothing planned.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're ready for it. Go ahead, Les.
You know, I've got an idea, and I don't think it's too far-fetched, and I think I've got quite an audience that would vouch for this. I think it's time that we had an American-sounding accent. And with that, I mean no disrespect to our buddies at NBC or even BBC or Sky Sports, but I think it's time we had an American-sounding F1 broadcast team on ESPN. Bob, what do you think?
Oh, I'm all for it. Trust me. And I've reached out to those folks. You know, early on when they were basically handed the Formula One deal by the new ownership at Liberty, you know, they didn't want to put any money into it. And they said as much publicly. So they went with the Sky package. And then that contract was up after a couple of seasons, and they had some competition from other networks for the deal, and ESPN had to pony up, which they did, to their credit. And now, you know, that hopefully in the near future, they're going to want to enhance that package if the viewership continues to grow. And one of the things I hope they'll consider is an American broadcast team, and I'd very much like to be a part of that.
Well, I agree with you, Les. I think it'd be awesome.
One of the things that gives me kind of some reasoning behind that is I played soccer in school, and back in those days you watched Spanish, German, or British sports, you know, soccer teams playing, and I remember people saying comments that you know, it's not our sport, because of all these other languages. And I worry that there are those in that mindset that don't feel like we're part of the sport, where Americans absolutely are part of the sport nowadays. And I'd like to get rid of that anomaly of not having American voices on TV doing it.
Well, I agree completely. To be totally honest, I think there is a certain amount of nationalism in this mix. I stood once by a racetrack with Ben Edwards, a very successful and well-known English commentator, and idly asked him, do you suppose, you know, networks in Britain and Europe would ever hire an American? And he said, not a chance. And I don't think that was because of some perceived ineptitude or inexperience on the behalf of American commentators. It's just a nationalistic thing. We want, as you pointed out, Les, we want our accents. We want identifiable people on the network. And, you know, we certainly see a lot of British commentators on American TV. So it's a bit of a one-way street, which gets up my nose a little bit from time to time. But maybe that, too, will change as time goes by and they realize that, yeah, Americans can call hockey and soccer and, you know, motor racing and whatnot. To be totally honest with you, I was supposed to be working this weekend at the 24 Hours of Spa, the big GT3 race at Spa-Francorchamps, which I've done for the last 3 or 4 years. And because of a number of factors, the pandemic and travel restrictions, primary among them, we weren't able to put together a remote link up that would allow me to take part. So I had to forego it this year, along with another American commentator, Ryan Marine, who some of you may be familiar with. Ryan has worked the pits in that race recently, but neither of us were able to take part, which was really too bad. But hopefully when the pandemic eases, and we Yanks can go abroad, we'll have the opportunity to do it.
Well, I certainly would love to see you and hear your voice in motorsports again, Bob. But I want to shift gears, guys. I want to stick to the theme a little bit because I want to talk about helping grow Formula One in the United States. And there's an opportunity that has arisen, and it has to do with Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen leaving the Haas F1 team. And we've been talking about it, Bob. We in the pre-show, I had Jonathan Green and our new co-host, Dave O'Neill, who used to be the team manager for Haas F1. He and Jonathan were talking about it. We talked about all different aspects of it, possibilities, whether it's, you know, the obvious ones like Hülkenberg and Checo Perez or Schumacher or Mazepin, you know, all the different names that everyone's knowing. But I asked Dave O'Neill this question, and I want to throw it to you as well, is that we had Günther Steiner on the show early in the season, and we asked him the question because we always ask him the question because everyone asks him that's in the United States, what about an American driver on an American team? And I asked him, and he's only ever said one name, and he finally said it this year, and he said Colton Herta. And I'd love to get your opinion on how you think that would work. I had an idea. Is that, okay, you get Colton, and then you get a big American company. You know, we've got some big companies that are – we got Dell right here in Austin who sponsors Formula One, but maybe team up. And my thought was is that how this could impact the viewership in Formula One, I think it could be dramatic if you had a young American driver. Now, I know that Haas isn't fighting for podiums right now, and they probably won't be next year, but maybe with the cost cap and subsequent years. But what do you think about Colton or any other American driver?
Well, I think Colton would be brilliant, quite frankly, and we'll see how good he is on street circuits later today at St. Pete. You know, this question comes up a lot. I always think of Ross Brawn when he got involved with the struggling BAR Honda Formula One program, and he was asked about drivers all the time, and he said, well, what we need first is a great car. And once we have a great competitive car, drivers won't be a problem because we'll have more drivers contacting us that we can deal with. And I think that would be the case at Haas too. They are a little bit restricted in that they are so closely associated with Ferrari. So I'm sure Maranello has something to say about what they do with the car and who their drivers are going to be. So that's a bit of a problem. I'm totally with you on more American involvement in Formula One. I was pretty close to the US F1 deal, lo these many years ago, which to me looked like it was going to be a brilliant effort, but it was stillborn when they lost track of their timeline to be there for the first race. That was going to be a car involving all sorts of previously unseen technology, and it's American technology. So I think the United States, you know, with all, you know, all questions of patriotism aside, it could be a huge contributor to Formula One, not only in terms of you know, making up the numbers out there, but also using groundbreaking technologies and introducing new talents, you know, from the biggest market in the world. There's so many reasons why an American team with American technology and American drivers would be great. But, you know, maybe Haas isn't that effort for a lot of reasons that we don't know an awful lot about. But obviously there's, you know, there's something has to happen there. Gene Haas was talking about leaving the sport for a while. Hopefully the cost cap and the all new cars we're going to see in 2022 will change his mind. But it's, you know, it's going to be an uphill fight for those guys through next year, since they have to use this year's car.
Yeah. And it is, it's a massively complex equation on how to make this all happen. But like you alluded to, if we can get the sport growing here, you know, it's always the United States. It's always been this coveted market. We've got the most, you know, what percentage of Ferraris are sold in the United States, right? And what percentage of all luxury cars and high-end sports cars are sold here? So there's this massive opportunity to grow the audience and then reach that market. So I'll see what, you know, I'm just anxious to see what happens here. But, well, Bob, let me ask you this. Any thoughts on who they might fill that seat with? If you had to guess, those seats, I should say.
Well, really hard to predict. Again, there's the Ferrari factor. I think we heard that Alfa Romeo is going to keep Antonio Giovinazzi alongside Kimi Raikkonen, so that eliminates one of those Ferrari seats where they might have stuck, you know, a Ralph Schumacher or what have you. I mean, Ralph Schumacher. Mick Schumacher.
Yeah.
Schumacher, I suppose. Well, not at Haas. You know, I don't know. I mean, and here's the thing. When your team is struggling,
yeah,
it's the reverse of the Ross Brawn situation. If you don't have a competitive car, nobody's going to want to drive for you. Some young driver placed there by a manufacturer is, you know, probably going to have a lousy attitude. You know, it's all about the car. It really is. And there are great drivers out there. You mentioned a couple. Certainly, Hulkenberg has really raised his own stock this year. There's guys wandering around with helmet bags that have experience. Hearing my own voice, if I had to pick a guy, I would say Hulkenberg. I think winning Le Mans when he did on debut with another couple of young Porsche drivers was fabulous. He has really shown with Racing Point that he can get in a car and go quickly on very short notice. I like the Hulk a lot.
Yeah, pretty hard to argue with what he did. Go ahead, Les.
I do too. One of the other candidates that I see is Sergio Perez, and I see a lot of good points with either direction. I'm not going to tell you what I've seen, but what are your thoughts on Sergio?
I think Sergio is another of those drivers who's become a bit of an institution in Formula One, and he has the added advantage of bringing millions of dollars in sponsorship, and that's one thing we haven't discussed is money. I think, look at Williams. I think they're going to keep Nicholas Latifi, who is holding on to the back end of the grid in today's race, like grim death, as Hobbs would say, but he has millions and millions of dollars, and if anybody's going to get pushed out at Williams, it's going to be the talented George Russell, which is really heartbreaking. There's that money factor as well. Hulk doesn't have it. Sergio does. Sergio also has the advantage of being a very good driver. He qualified well, raced hard in today's race once he recovered from that initial collision with Max. He's another prime candidate, and maybe even more so because he brings a fat wallet.
Yeah, and he's also, you know, we've talked about this in the pre-shows that he's got the Mexican connection. You know, when COTA first opened before the Mexican Grand Prix got restarted, there was a huge contingent from Mexico that would come up every year. I mean, it was like 40,000 of the 120,000 that came on Sunday were from Mexico. So that would also play into that too. But all right, guys, well, let's take our last break, and we come back, we'll wrap it up and continue our discussions about Formula One and everything else. You're listening to Speed City live from Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We watched the Portuguese Grand Prix today, and it was nice having some new tracks and new things to worry about and look at on the racetrack. And we're discussing all this with our guest, Bob Varsha. Really excited to have Bob. And we've worked together a couple times, Bob. It was great working with you back a few years ago at Formula One. We did the local radio broadcast with you. That was kind of a bucket list for me, Bob. I'll have to admit that. And excited to have you here today. But anything else from today, from Portugal, that struck you? You know, we had some great racing in the midfield, like we saw between Gasly and Sainz and all that. But anything else that struck you from today's race?
Well, you know, as I watched the race and I was excited about it, I was thinking, why can't we have this every year? Why don't we, every year, let's pick one racetrack as a wild card that, you know, nobody's been to, at least in a while, and, you know, make them, rush to figure the thing out. And that might help get the kind of shakeup from front to back that we saw today.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's been lots of discussion on Twitter today about that because of this, is that everybody's mm-hmm. going, why couldn't we? You know, this, you know, everything that's lots of times a negative in life can bring positives, right? And we've all learned about new technologies, whether it's Zoom or whatever remote things. And Bob, I bet you they get that remote thing that you're worried about for Le Mans and all that figured out over the coming months and years. But this is one of those opportunities. You know, we talked about reverse grids all season, but I think the one thing that has been a huge success is maybe we have this wild card or whatever, but I think it's a fantastic idea and I think everybody would love it. And hopefully, you know, Formula One will take that up and start doing it.
Yeah, I mean, Liberty seems to be open to new ideas, and Ross Brawn is heading up that effort. I saw a really interesting article, I think it was by British writer Tony Dodgins, about how you compare drivers, as we were talking about earlier in the show. And his argument was the only way you can do that is if each driver drives a different car in each race weekend, which I know is never going to happen in a million years, but that was a great idea to think about. Oh, and while we're on the subject of the last time we worked together at COTA, I am reminded that this is the weekend when the U.S. Grand Prix out at the track was originally scheduled, was it not?
That's exactly right. I went out to COTA yesterday, Bob, because they have the F3 and the FR Americas and F4 racing, and it was a great, cool weekend out there. And I was like, oh, this is a bummer that we didn't get this for Formula One, because it would have been a great weekend. And yes, you're right. But everything I'm hearing, though, is everything's full speed ahead for next year, though.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, and we got NASCAR coming back to Circuit of the Americas. I say back because there's been a few cars on track. We had Kurt Busch way back in, like, 2013, and then the Haas boys drove the car last year. But we got NASCAR bringing a cup race to COTA. We're really excited about that, although it looks like we have lost IndyCar, so... But yeah, what do you think about NASCAR coming to Circuit of the Americas?
I think it's a great idea, and I hope they'll run the full circuit. You'll recall back when the Australian V8 supercars came over. I was a part of that broadcast, and one driver after another said, holy moly, you know, why are we running this shortened course? Let's go all the way out there to turn 11 and do this properly.
Yeah, Les, you've been saying that all along. As soon as you heard about NASCAR, you were like, please, please run the full circuit.
Absolutely. And, you know, mm-hmm. especially after talking to Tony, that was one of the questions specifically for Tony Stewart while he was here in his cup car. It's that I asked him, okay, there's not many tracks that NASCAR goes to that's longer than 3.4 miles. Is that something that would scare NASCAR away? Would they want to go short? And he said, absolutely. Let's run the big one. Let's do it all. And I think that's going to be absolutely phenomenal, having NASCAR here, seeing them run the big course, and seeing what happens when they turn right on purpose.
Yeah, Bob, Tony Stewart went on, just gushed about Circuit of the Americas for a cup race. So I guess that's a pretty good endorsement. We'll take Tony's word for it. I think he knows what he's talking about. But right. I want to go back to something you said about Colton Herta, because it reminded me when Colton first came to Circuit of the Americas we had a test here in back in the early part of the year last year. And I was just in the media center and I heard the announcement say Colton Herta's up next, and he hit the track. And I think it was within his first two laps. I think it was his second lap. He was the fastest of the day immediately. And it was his first time on Circuit of the Americas, his second lap, and he was the fastest. And I immediately stopped and I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Let me look at this. Let me pay more attention. And I remember grabbing my phone and tweeting that out. So I think you're right. I think that kid has got some skills. And I mean, look, how hard is it going to be to drag him out of IndyCar though, Bob?
Well, that would be tough, you know, and that's a story we've heard before with guys like Al Unser Jr. and so on. They're, how is it described? They are tied to the United States with a golden chain because they can, you know, sleep in their own beds every night and they make good money and they know the racetracks and everything. It takes a special kind of driver to want to go over and mix it up over in Europe and stay abroad for lengthy periods of time and deal with all the cultural and language issues and all that sort of thing, all of which, of course, can be overcome.
And can Colton be fun, too. You know, it can be fun. What's and that? Exciting, too. So, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just listening, young John Edwards went over as a very young guy under the Red Bull driver program to run karts and then so on and so forth. Now he's a BMW factory driver, travels the world. He and his parents worked all that out. So, you know, it can be done. And there's lots of young drivers. I mean, just listen to Jeremy Shaw talk about all the great young drivers he sees trying to get into his Team USA program. And right now the two kids he's got over in Europe are doing really well in Formula Fords. So, you know, the talent is there and we need to overcome it. And, you know, it's a glass ceiling, I guess, might be the metaphor I would borrow. Somebody's got to break it. That's going to take a special person to do that.
Well, Bob, we are out of time. We cannot thank you enough, Bob Varsha, for joining us. We wish you the best of luck in your recovery. And you have a place to join us anytime on the radio. Just give us a call in the middle of the show if you want. So thanks a lot, Bob. We really appreciate you coming on. And I'm sure our audience was excited to hear from you.
Well, thank you, John. Les, great to be on with you again.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And, of course, we will talk to you next Sunday. So check us out on our website to find out all our times and shows and everything. It's speedcitybroadcast.com. And we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.